Welcome to Vintage Voices. This month's cast includes Dave Strang as Fenn and Gibney, Myron Shellis as Sergeant Joe Friday, John Lindblom as Officer Frank Smith, Karen Stipes as Martha Dunbar, Bev Kujula as Bessie Maxson, Linda Haney as Tina Malone, and Russ Howard as Ralph Portland.
The play was directed by Jan Dennis. It was recorded by Rachel McReynolds. Music and sound effects were added by Lauren Argo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Your detective sergeant, you're assigned to the burglary detail. An elderly woman reports that a man has stolen $300 from her apartment. She says she saw him. Your job. Check it out. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Thursday, May 19th. We were working the day watch out of burglary detail. My partner's Frank Smith. My name's Friday. It was 3:47 p.m. when we got to a small apartment house on the corner of Olympic and 6th, the Topeka Arms.
What was the lady's name again, Joe?
Dunbitter. Martha Dunbitter.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, here's her mailbox. Number 8.
Who's there?
Police officers, ma'am.
Oh, just a second. I'm coming. Oh, my goodness, you certainly got back in... Oh, dear me, you aren't the same ones, are you?
No, ma'am. This is Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
There were two other policemen here just a little while ago. It's a shame you didn't know. You could have saved yourselves a trip.
That's all right. We knew they'd be here.
They're patrol car officers. They were in the neighborhood, so they answered your call.
Well, I just don't see why you had to bother yourselves, too.
It's no bother, ma'am. All right if we come in?
Oh, my, yes. Please do. Just imagine all four of you trying to help me get my money back. Certainly makes a body feel important.
Did the other officers say where they were going?
I'm not sure. I wasn't able to follow everything they said.
They were going to canvass the area for the suspect.
Suspect?
The man who stole your money.
Oh, but I don't just suspect him, officer. I know he did it. I saw him.
Yes, ma'am. You're Mrs. Martha Dunbitter, is that right?
It's Miss Dunbitter. I'm still single.
Would you mind telling us just what happened this afternoon, Miss Dunbitter?
Oh, no. I don't mind at all. It's still quite clear.
Go ahead. About this afternoon.
Oh, well, now let's see. I fixed myself some lunch, and then I did up the dishes. It must have been about 1 o'clock by the time I finished. Afterwards, I put on my hat and went down to the library. It's only a couple of blocks from here, the Grover Cleveland branch.
Yes, ma'am. What happened next?
I came home, and there he was.
Ma'am?
That awful man.
Oh, well, just where was he?
Over there, the bedroom.
I see.
I guess he didn't hear me let myself in. I always try to move around as quietly as possible, even in the afternoons. People sometimes like to take a nap.
You said the man was in your bedroom.
Yes, that's right. That's where he was. As soon as I came in, I heard him. At least I heard somebody moving around.
Uh-huh.
I was never so flabbergasted in my whole life. He was standing in front of the dresser going through my pocketbook.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say anything, not at first. I was too taken aback. But I guess I must have made a noise. Anyway, he turned around. I asked him point blank, "What are you doing here?" He only grinned and went on going through my handbag. I suppose he figured I was a harmless old lady who couldn't stop him.
How much money was in the purse?
I'm not positive, not to the penny, about $300.
In cash?
Yes, sir. You see, I've been saving dimes for the last 15 years.
You mean this $300 was in dimes?
Goodness gracious, no. What I do is go through my change every night and put all the dimes in my dime bank. Then, when it's full, I take it down to a real bank and change the coins into bills. The dime bank holds $25.
Why'd you keep that much cash on hand?
When you're my age, you never know what's going to happen. A person gets sick, has to go to the hospital. You need cash at a time like that.
Uh-huh. Now, what does this man do next, Miss Dunbetter?
Well, he found the money, my $300, and stuffed it into his pockets.
I see.
I told him if he didn't put it back, I'd call the police. That didn't seem to worry him a bit. Afraid I won't be able to stick around till they get here, Granny. That's what he said to me. Then he just strolled out of the apartment as big as life. I was too dumbfounded to do anything about it.
I understand.
I heard him tramp down the stairs, and then I heard the front door slam. When I was sure he was out of the building, I managed to get my wits together, and I dialed the police.
Had you ever seen this man before, Miss Dunbetter?
No, I'm sure I never did.
Could you tell us what he looked like?
I told the other officers. He was a tall man.
What color hair?
Dark, very dark.
Eyes?
Dark eyes, too. Dark complected, like he'd spent a lot of time outdoors.
Did you notice any scars?
Yes, come to think of it, I did. Across his forehead, a thin little ziggity-zag.
How old would you say he was?
Oh, he was young. 35, maybe 40.
Do you know if anyone else saw him? The other tenants?
I haven't talked to any of them. I haven't left the apartment since it happened.
You live alone, do you?
Oh, my, no. My sister Bessie stays with me.
Where is she this afternoon?
She went out of town for a few days to visit her grandson and his family. They came down from Oxnard this morning to get her. Tomorrow's her birthday. She'll be 80. I expect they're going to have quite a celebration.
Yes, ma'am.
Of course, they invited me along, but I didn't want to intrude. After all, it's Bessie's birthday, not mine.
Sure.
When I turn 80, I don't suppose anybody will lift a finger to give me a party the way they're all carrying on. You'd think it was such an accomplishment. They're even going to put her picture in the paper and write an article about her.
Well, it's a pretty ripe old age.
I don't see what's so ripe about it. After all, I'm nearly 79 myself. Oh, I know I don't look it. Everybody thinks there's at least 10 years between us, and Bessie is failing.
Yes, ma'am. Just a couple of more questions, Miss Dunbetter. What time was it when you got home from the library?
2:45, maybe a few minutes after.
I see. How did he get into the apartment? The door locked?
I thought it was. I always try to remember to lock it whenever I go out, but sometimes I do forget. I guess I did today.
Uh-huh. Do you think you'd recognize the burglar if you saw him again?
I most assuredly would. There's nothing the matter with my eyesight. It's as good as it ever was. My faculties aren't impaired, I'm happy to say.
That's fine. We'd like to take you down to the office with us and show you some pictures.
Oh?
To see if you can identify him.
I couldn't go like this. I have to change my dress first.
That's up to you, ma'am. Try not to touch anything in the bedroom.
Why not?
We have a crew from the crime lab check for fingerprints, the pocketbook especially.
Oh, well, I'm sure you won't find any.
Ma'am?
He was wearing mittens, gloves.
Well, we'll check anyway. 4:05 p.m., Frank and I put in a call to the crime lab. While Miss Dunbetter changed her dress, we checked the other apartments to see if anyone else had seen the burglar. We went down to the first floor and stopped at apartment 1.
Who is it?
Police officers.
Oh, for Pete's sake, come on in. And cut out the corny jokes, will you, George? Who the heck are you?
Police officers.
Are you guys for real?
My name's Friday. This is my partner, Frank Smith. Here's the identification.
Oh, looks like I goofed. I got such crazy friends. They're always pulling gags.
Sure.
Do you rent this apartment, ma'am?
That's a matter of opinion. The way the other tenants check up on everything that goes on in here, you'd think they was paying the bills.
Have you been here all afternoon?
All day, for that matter. Except for a couple hours this morning when I went down to the unemployment office to file my claim.
I see.
I'm a model. Do a little acting in pictures. Right now, I'm having a dry spell.
Uh-huh.
Tina Malowe. That's my professional name. You ever hear of me?
I'm afraid not.
Lousy press agent. Gonna make me famous overnight. $10 a week I've been paying him for over 6 months now. If I died, he couldn't get me an obituary notice.
Did you see anybody come into the building around 3 o'clock?
No.
Hear anybody?
Afraid I ain't going to be much use to you. I've got a late date tonight, so I was storing up a little extra sleep time. Just woke up a few minutes ago.
Well, have you noticed any strangers hanging around this neighborhood lately?
What kind of strangers?
How about a middle-aged man? Tall, dark hair, scar on his forehead.
If he's been around, I haven't run into him.
Do you usually keep your door locked?
Sure, when I'm out.
Was it locked this afternoon?
You walked in, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you guys building up to?
One of the tenants has reported a burglary.
Holy smoke! It'd be just my luck at a time like this. Now, where the heck's my pocketbook? I know I had it with me this morning.
That it? Over on the desk?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks. 5, 10, 11. Oh, guess it's all here. What little there is. Looks like I got a break for once. That's a switch.
Yes, ma'am. Well, sorry if we bothered you.
Who got taken?
Oh, Miss Dunbetter. Apartment 8.
Wouldn't you know it, one of the Yak Yak girls. Morning, noon, and night. Yak, yak, yak. They don't even stop for punctuation marks.
No.
For the last 6 months, that sister of hers has been jawing about her 80th birthday. I'm beginning to feel 80 myself. Now they'll have a new subject. Brother, I'll hear about this burglary till it comes out of my ears. You know something, mister?
Hmm?
I'd be better off if he'd robbed me.
Frank and I checked the other apartments. None of the other tenants were home. 4:16 p.m. Patrol car officers returned to the building. They reported that they had not been able to find anyone answering the suspect's description in the immediate vicinity. We drove Miss Dunbetter down to the city hall. We ran the suspect's description and MO through the stats office. They came up with 17 possibles. Miss Dunbetter was unable to make an identification. At 6:46 p.m., we drove Miss Dunbetter home and went off duty. The next day, May 20th, 11:17 a.m. I've got it. Burglary. Friday. Who? Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. When you come in. Uh-huh. I see. Oh. I don't know. What do you look like? Uh-huh. Yeah. We'd like to. Okay. Thanks a lot. That was Chubb Stark, the bartender over at the Yellow Cat.
Oh, yeah? What'd he want?
A guy came into his place last night. He was carrying a pretty big roll. Threw it around, bought drinks for the house. Got kind of loaded. Did some talking about how easy he had picked up the dough. He just walked in again this morning.
Sound like anything to you?
Chubb says he's about 6 foot, black hair.
Yeah?
Scar on his forehead. Frank and I drove out to the Yellow Cat Bar on Figueroa. Chubb pointed out the husky man sitting in a corner booth. We went over to talk to him.
Stand up.
Huh?
We're police officers. Stand up.
Okay, okay.
You can sit down again.
Something eating you guys.
What's your name?
Portlong. Ralph Portlong.
Where do you live, Portlong?
Hotel, round the corner.
How long have you been staying there?
Since last night.
Before that?
Back east. I just got in town yesterday.
Whereabouts back east?
All over. Chicago, Cleveland, all over.
What kind of business are you in?
Unemployed.
You got any money?
Some.
How much?
$100, maybe $150.
Where'd you get it?
Borrowed it.
From who?
A pal.
In L.A.?
Chicago.
What's his name?
Johnson, Cliff Johnson.
Address?
I don't know. He moves around, same as I do.
When was it you got in town, Portlong?
I told you, yesterday.
What time?
6 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Yesterday morning?
Last night.
You sure of that?
Yeah.
How'd you come? Train?
Car.
Your own car?
Hitched a ride.
Just where were you yesterday afternoon?
Riding into L.A.
All afternoon?
Yeah.
What was the driver's name?
How should I know? I've been hitching for the last week. Must have rode with 20 different guys.
You don't remember the one you were with yesterday?
Uh-uh.
You ever been arrested, Portlong?
Nothing serious.
Tell us about it.
Drunk. That's all.
Where was this?
Ohio, when I was a kid.
Anything else?
Some speeding tickets.
You ever been arrested in California?
Never been in California.
First trip, huh?
Yeah, and you ain't exactly making me feel welcome either.
You know an apartment house called the Topeka Arms?
Whereabouts?
6th and Olympic.
Where's that?
In L.A.
Can't you get nothing straight? I ain't never been here before.
Uh-huh.
Come on, let's go.
What for?
We'll show you the sights.
For instance?
City Hall. Frank and I took the suspect into custody for further questioning. 12:16 p.m. We ran the name Ralph Portlong through R&I. They had nothing on him. We put out an APB with his description, stating that he was in our custody. The bulletin requested any information about the suspect and was marked Attention, Chicago PD and Cleveland Police Department. 2:18 p.m., we again interviewed Portlong. He insisted he had not arrived in Los Angeles until 6 o'clock the previous evening and refused to say anything more. 4:06 p.m., we received replies to our APB on Portlong. Chicago reported 2 convictions for grand theft auto, and Cleveland reported 1 conviction for burglary, second degree. We telephoned Miss Dunbetter and arranged for her to attend a special show-up at the main jail. 6:17 p.m., the show-up was completed, and Frank and I took the victim back to our office.
You're absolutely sure it isn't the same man?
My goodness gracious, I ought to know. I don't see how you could have made such a mistake.
He fits your description, even the scar.
But I told you it was a ziggity-zag. This man's scar is entirely different.
No.
And his hair is wrong, too. The other man had some gray in it right across here.
I thought you said he was fairly young.
A body doesn't have to be old to get gray. Why, I've been gray ever since I had my appendix out, and I was only 34.
Yes, ma'am. We'll have you taken home now.
It really is a shame.
Ma'am?
That you arrested that poor fellow. When he hasn't done anything.
Burglary Friday. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. Oh. When did you get it? I see. No, not yet. Sure. Will you notify him? Okay. I guess we don't need to feel too sorry for Portlong.
What do you mean, Joe?
Another answer to our APB.
Oh?
You were right, Miss Dunbetter. He couldn't have been your burglar.
I told you, didn't I?
He was in Needles yesterday afternoon. Hitched a ride.
Yeah?
Slugged the driver. Ralph Portlong was held pending arrival of the authorities from Needles. The investigation of the apartment house burglary continued. 2 more suspects were brought in for the questioning. Both men succeeded in establishing alibis for the time of the crime. Monday, May 23rd, 1:48 p.m. Frank and I were on our way back to the office from lunch.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
Talk to you while you're out. He wants you to call back. Here's the number.
Thanks.
Sure.
Bessie Maxson.
Who's she?
I don't know. Mrs. Maxson, this is the police department, Sergeant Friday. Yes, that's right. Yes, we were the ones who... Yes, ma'am. I see. Yes. I guess we can. Is something wrong? Oh, you sure of that? All right, right away. Thank you for calling. Bye. Miss Dunbetter's sister, she just got back from Oxnard.
Yeah?
Says it never happened. Says her sister made it up. Frank and I drove out to the Topeka Arms and went up to apartment number 8. It was 2:17 when we got there.
Somebody's coming.
Yeah?
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Maxson?
That's right.
My name's Friday. I just spoke to you over the phone. This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Oh, how do you do? Please come in. Just don't know what to say. I suppose it's all my fault for going out of town. I never should have left Martha alone. I might have known she'd be up to something.
Are you absolutely sure about this, Mrs. Maxson?
About what?
That there wasn't any burglary.
Huh. Never in a million years.
Your sister gave us all the details.
Play acting, that's all it was. She's done it all her life.
You mean Miss Dunbetter isn't,
My sister is as sane as you are, if that's what you're getting at.
Then why didn't she tell us that story?
I haven't the vaguest notion. She simply won't give me any explanation.
Did she tell you about the burglary?
Certainly not. She knows better than to hand me any of her cock and bull stories. I can see right through them.
Who did tell you about it?
When I got home this morning, everybody in the building was discussing it. The news was in all the papers. Mrs. Parker saved the clippings for me.
Uh-huh. Well, just what is it that makes you so sure your sister was lying?
In the first place, Martha never had $300 in her whole life. And in the second place, If the story is true, why won't she face me? Why is she hiding?
Hiding?
The minute I told her I was going to call you, she locked herself in the bathroom. She's been there for 2 hours now. She simply refuses to come out.
Well, we want to talk to her if we can.
I'll try again. The fact that you're here may have some influence.
Think we've been getting a runaround, Joe?
Sounds that way.
Yeah.
Martha, you come out of there this instant. Martha Dunbetter, do you hear me? The police want to talk to you. Now you come out.
I won't ever come out.
I never heard of such childishness. You see, I'm not able to do a thing with her.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe if you speak to her, she'll come to her senses. My own sister, carrying on like this, I don't know how I'll ever be able to hold my head up again.
Miss Dunbetter, this is Sergeant Friday. Miss Dunbetter, will you please come out so we can talk to you? Miss Dunbetter!
Well, it's about time. Whatever were you thinking of, Martha? What got into you?
I am not speaking to you, Bessie.
Let's go in the other room. Be easier to talk there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, not speaking to me, huh? Well, two can play at that game. And I assure you, I won't be the one who suffers.
Do you want to sit down? All right, Miss Dunbetter. Can we clear this thing up now? Your sister says there wasn't any burglary.
And just how would she know? She wasn't here, was she?
I know because I know you. And I know you never had $300 to your name.
I did, too.
Where'd you get it? Where did you get it?
It's none of your business.
How about it, Miss Dunbetter? Did you have $300? Well?
I never said it was exactly $300, not to the penny.
$3 would be more like it.
There happen to be a few things you don't know about, including my savings.
A likely story. You never saved a penny in your life.
What about my dime bank?
I shook it just the other day.
I'll thank you to keep your hands off my property.
Savings indeed. If I didn't pay most of the expenses around here, you'd starve to death.
I managed quite well before you moved in on me, Bessie, and I was perfectly happy living alone. As a matter of fact, I preferred that arrangement.
Maybe you'd like to try it again.
Maybe I would. I'm sure I'd be money ahead. Don't you ha me, Bessie Maxson. You ought to see the way she eats. Gobble, gobble, gobble. She shovels it down.
Stuff and nonsense. I don't have any more appetite than a bird.
Birds don't nip the cooking, Sherry.
Martha Dunbetter, how can you say such a thing?
Because I know it's true. I mark the bottle.
Well, whatever I do, I don't fib to the police like some people I could name.
No, Miss Dunbetter?
I may have exaggerated a speck. I didn't mean to do any harm.
Did you know it's against the law to file a false police report?
Against the law?
There, you see, you're going to jail. I knew it would happen. I knew that sooner or later you'd disgrace us all.
Why'd you do it? You must have a reason.
I won't tell you. Not in front of her, I won't.
Oh, would you mind waiting in the other room for a couple of minutes, Mrs. Maxson?
I certainly would.
We'd appreciate it, ma'am.
Oh, very well. You'd think I was the criminal around here.
All right, Miss Dunbetter. Go ahead.
It's very difficult to explain. You see, it was all on account of her, Bessie.
Go on.
It started when we were little girls. Just because she was older, she was always lording it over me. Mama and Daddy always gave her everything first. Hand-me-downs are all I got. Bessie's hand-me-downs.
Uh-huh.
Then, when we grew up, she was the belle of the ball. She had her pick of all the young gentlemen in town. The only time they'd take me out was when Bessie was busy. And don't think she didn't let me know that I was second choice. The only reason she married Horace was because he took a fancy to me. Well, I had my pride, too. I wouldn't settle for her leftovers. That's why I stayed single.
I see.
The least she could have done was name one of her little girls after me. I am her only sister.
You still haven't told us why you reported the burglary, Miss Dunbetter.
It was on account of her birthday. Just because she's 80 years old, you'd think she was the Queen of Romania. Her picture in the paper. People making a fuss about her. Well, I made up my mind that for once in my life, somebody was going to make a fuss about me.
Well?
And to tell you the truth, I'm not a bit sorry I did it. I mean, I guess I should be sorry, but I'm not. I really enjoyed myself. All those questions you asked me, like I was somebody. And my name was in the newspapers, too. First time it ever happened. It's kind of strange when you think about it, to live 79 years without ever seeing your name in print. But that wasn't the best part. The best part was Bessie not being able to horn in and take all the credit. Oh, I knew you'd find me out sooner or later, but I didn't care. I sure had the laugh on her. All the time she was in Oxnard being partied, I was having a little party of my own.
You know, you didn't need to put us through all this, Miss Dunbetter. You're almost 80 yourself.
It's over a year away. When you're my age, you can't be sure of anything.
Yes, ma'am.
Besides, even when I'm 80, Bessie'll still be ahead.
Ma'am?
She'll be going on 90.
The story you just heard is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. On May 26th, a hearing was held in the office of Perry Thomas, city attorney. Due to the advanced age of Miss Martha Dunbetter, and because of her assurances that she would never repeat her actions, no charges were filed against her. You've just heard Dryden, a series of authentic cases from official Los Angeles police files.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Vintage Voices.